with Budapest becoming an increasingly popular destination for Irish tourists, as well as a growing expat and student population in the city, we explore the similarities between the two cultures and the differences, and what appeals to the estimated 700 Irish people living here.
Located at Peelvox Cuz in the heart of Budapest, Jack Doyle's Irish pub and restaurant has been a vibrant fixture in the city for the past 5 years, catering for the expat Irish community as well as local residents in the area and the large amount of tourists visiting Budapest. James O'Nolan caught up with Jack Doyle's owner, Charles Griffin, to find out just why it is so popular.
We're here with Charles Griffin from Jack Doyle's pub in Budapest. So Charles, first of all, how did you end up in Budapest? And your journey here.
Good evening. I arrived in 2007. I came for the summer, actually, from an invitation from a friend of mine that I knew from Paris years ago when I lived in Paris. He had moved here to semi-retire. Obviously, there's a big age difference between the two of us. I'm nowhere near a retirement age. But, yeah, he invited me over. Said I had a lot of similarities to Paris. Said I'd enjoy it as a city. I didn't know much about it, so I came over in the summer of 2007. Liked it very much. I had actually in the previous year only sold out of the business I had at home, which was I was in the pub trade as well, and I was deciding on moving again. So I came over for the summer, liked it, went home for a couple of months and packed my bags and moved back full time then in January 2008.
Very good. And of course Jack Doyle's is a big fixture in the Irish community here in Budapest. How did that come about and setting up the business?
Well, when I came over in January, I mean, I had obviously known there was Beckett's was here, which had been here a long established Irish pub since about the late 90s, and Patrick down in the Caledonia had only recently opened, but I think about a year, maybe a year and a half before I arrived. Initially, I hadn't any interest because I had enough of the pub trade. I haven't been in it since college and haven't owned my own pub for 5 years. But I suppose, like anything, I was working with the friend I had come over to see. We were doing property renovations, stuff like that, you know, part-time. It was going quite all right, but it was never going to be unstable to keep me here. And during that time then, the idea came up a couple of times about opening an Irish pub and stuff like that, and I kind of toyed at it, and I thought that, okay, Beckett's had gone a bit stale. Caledonia was doing quite well under Patrick, and yet it was Scottish, but he was doing well, in fairness. So, yeah, I started looking into it, and then... eventually, after two or three premises, we found the one we're in now on Peelvox Cuz in Varashazutsa, and we were lucky. It was, you know, as you see it, it's a rectangular premises, has a good street frontage on a pedestrianised street, very close to all the central metro stations and stuff, and it had been closed for 2 years. So it was a blank canvas to come in and do what we wanted.
Prime location,
yeah. And the hotel, which is part of next door, were... you know, very encouraging, obviously, to get a tenant. It had no one in here with 2 years. Obviously, the fact of having an Irish pub, they were highly entertained by and stuff like that. And I suppose after meeting me, they knew we were serious. So, yeah, we were able to come in and do it. And it was great because we actually did it and got it done and open within 6 weeks, which was quite an achievement considering what was here. But having said that, if you view the old pictures on the internet to the way the place looks now, I think we got away with a lot when we opened, because it was literally a blank canvas when we opened as well. I mean, half the seating that's here now wasn't here. The walls were not full of any pictures, you know. I mean, it was actually quite bare. But I think people got the idea and people got the spirit, and from the start we had a good team. You know, I was here myself. Elvira is with me from day one, and we had good staff. Some of them are still with us, and I think... you know, it didn't need everything from the start. It wasn't lost on people what we're trying to do, but yes, it's like the way it is now, 5 years on. It's taken that length of time to put it together in its character, and I think, luckily, people stick with us, and it worked out that way.
Very good. And as you mentioned, you owned a pub in Ireland a few years ago. Is there much of a difference in running a pub in Hungary than there is in Ireland, and is there similarities?
There's quite a few differences. From a business point of view... how you have to go about setting up a pub in Budapest and Ireland are completely different. You know, in Ireland you have to obtain a license, but you have to pay for them. Back in the day, they were worth quite a lot of money. They're probably still worth maybe 60,000-70,000. Back years ago, they could have been worth anything up to 150,000-200,000, depending on where you wanted to put them. Budapest doesn't have those legislations. You can actually open a pub more or less anywhere you want within the city districts. Once you find a proper location and you get permission from the house, normally there's apartments underneath every city centre premises, and you need permission from the house to actually open. But the licensing, you don't have to pay for it as such, you just need the permission of the house and then the local government. From that point of view, it's easier to open, obviously, in Budapest. Not as much, obviously, money involved. And considering Budapest as a capital country, I mean, I wouldn't like to be opening the same kind of pub in Dublin. Yeah. Now or then, you know, given the recession, there'd be huge, huge, obviously, difference in the money and the economics that would be involved. But one thing I do like about it, and I say this very tongue-in-cheek, but it's part of the reason I moved out here as well, owning a pub in Ireland is very, very difficult, especially if it's like what I had before, that it's within a smaller community. You know, it can work out good and bad, but in Ireland, like we all know, being Irish, I mean, you know, Irish people can take a lot from you as well. And I think always my dream pub, if it had been in Ireland, was a pub that would have been in a very big city that was run very, very well, but no one cared who the owner was and I could come and go as I wish. And kind of in Budapest, I have that because, you know, the majority of my clientele aren't, you know, permanent on a regular basis, and therefore when I come and go, it doesn't bother them, and that suits me and it suits them. So I kind of get that out here, which is a major attraction.
On that point, what customers do you mainly attract? Is it tourists, locals, or Irish expats?
The dynamic has changed hugely in the last 5 years, and I mean, from a business point of view, I mean, when I opened, I would have said yes, I had a lot of experience from having travelled, grown up in a business background, you know, the research I would have thought I did. But actually, you know, it's like any business, you learn, and we've been very lucky to be still opened after 5 years, because initially when we opened 5 years ago, actually probably 70-80% of our clientele and business would have been Irish, between the Irish students that were out here, Irish people coming out every weekend, you know, that would either been related to those students or visiting or whatever. But the economy was very different in Ireland at the time, and obviously the students out here as well, there was a lot more of them. They were probably fed up with Beckett's. I was somewhere new to go. They had obviously a lot more money in their pocket, you know, because their parents had a lot more money, and they obviously maybe they were less serious than the students that are here now, or whatever, they socialise more. But at the time, in fairness to the students, I'd say I wouldn't have survived my first year in business without the Irish community and students that were out here. And then the dynamic of it kind of changed after the next couple of years, you know. Irish people stopped coming as much as they did. I suppose we got in more with the neighbourhood and the Hungarians, because there was never a pub in this area before, and it's a very big enough district and location, so we started getting more Hungarians, and I suppose they got used to us, because an Irish pub can scare local people, because they expect it to be expensive and different, because that's only the tag that goes with an Irish pub. So after the next 2 or 3 years, kind of, we were lucky, we kind of changed clientele in that way, unknowns to ourselves, but very lucky to actually be able to stay in business. And I'd say now we're in our fifth year in business, and I'd say at the moment we probably run on somewhere like 60-70% of our clientele is now tourists that are here every weekend, expats living in Budapest, and then maybe about 15% of it actually Hungarian clientele, and then the other 15 is probably, you know, the students that are actually here permanently and stuff like that. So it's actually, the dynamics of it have changed, but the tourist side of it has increased very much so, you know.
What attracts people to Hungary and Budapest, do you think, Irish tourists in particular?
Well, I think, no more than I said about the economy having changed the way it's changed at home. Obviously, I mean, you know, the joke was years ago, you know, people were going to Paris for weekends, people were going to New York for a week shopping trip and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, the money isn't there as much. So therefore, as a result, they had to look at what they'd probably consider more exotic locations that they would have never have looked at before, like the likes of Hungary, the likes of going to Romania, you know, Bulgaria, places like that. So I think that's what attracted people initially, no more than myself. When I came out here in 2007, I had never, you know, done any research in Budapest, had known nothing about it except for my friend living out here. And actually, no more than still is a bit similar now. When you get the taxi in from the airport or even the train, you're still not sure what you're coming into until you hit the city centre. You know, the suburbs are still very back in the 60s and 70s by appearance and communist times. But I think now, obviously, as I said, as a result of that, people have spread. They've opened up into Eastern Europe and Central Europe. You know, Prague would have been part of it. And obviously, they've discovered what a beautiful city it is. I mean, it's very, very appealing as regards the history of here, the architect, the influence of so many cultures that were here before. And obviously, with the Danube and stuff like that. And it does have similarities, I believe myself, having lived in Paris for a couple of years, with Paris as well, with the Danube and the buildings and stuff like that. I think it's just, I used to describe myself as just a little bit rougher around the edges. And I suppose, like that, Ryanair made a huge contribution when they started flying in here 2 years ago, when Malev, the national carrier, went bust. and Ryanair immediately took over their routes and launched something like 35 routes in and out of Budapest within a month, and that was in November of that year. So they've obviously contributed to it, and I think obviously word of mouth, you know, I mean, it spread big time, you know, students over here, people like that, and I think last year I got number one city break in Europe and number seven in the CNN world poll, and I mean, it stands on itself, and obviously the fact that it's obviously a little bit cheaper helps. But I mean, it's got the city, it's got the weather, it's got the architect, and the, you know, it's got the people. It's a good city to visit all around.
And as you alluded to a while ago, there is some difficulties in opening up an Irish pub in certain places, but they seem to be in most cities across the world. What do you think about it is about an Irish pub that attracts people?
Yeah, it's very strange. I was just reading a blog of a guy that had passed through here a couple of months ago. He's doing a cycle from Dublin to Beijing in China, and he had just called in here in the night, you know, because it was an Irish pub when he was in Budapest, and I've been following his blog, and he told me that he recently just landed, or I was reading in his blog that he just recently landed, I think it is in Azerbaijan, and one of the first pictures he put up was of an Irish pub, and I mean, you know, I'm obviously, I have a huge interest in the Irish pub trade for the last 20 years, and when I go here myself, I always seek out and visit an Irish pub just to get familiar with the area, see who's there and check out the pub itself. But I was shocked to think that even out there. And I've heard there's obviously Irish pubs in more far-flung places than that. But I suppose it goes back to our history, you know, and the people that travelled, first of all, and unfortunately history, they still follow us, has been very, very fond of the drink, you know, which is a good and a bad thing. But I think it's that, and I think that the reason people do these days, and even Irish people, you know, sometimes, you know, you see people posting that they're in an Irish pub and someone at home going, oh geez, you're on holidays, why would you be in an Irish pub? But I mean, the thing is, I mean, it's still good to mix amongst your own. I think for myself personally, I think people come to get the feeling and lowdown for a city, or if they have any questions, they feel comfortable or whatever. And I suppose no more than, let's say, you get the English, unfortunately, sometimes with the French, the Italians, the Germans, everyone comes from an Irish pub because they know 9 times out of 10 it's where the crack is going to be at, and you're guaranteed a good night out, you know, it's going to be at the Irish pub. So I think that's the attraction, but it's also evolved as well, and I think that Ireland, you know, I mean, has exported some great pubs, and I think at home, you know, if you step away from the actual traditional looking Irish pub, we have some amazing pubs at home in Ireland at the moment, you know, in Dublin, Belfast, Cork, Galway even, that will compete with any pubs across the world. But I think the fact that their essence is Irish is still something we should hold on to, you know, it's a very good thing.
Do you think you'll stay here? Is it home?
Yeah, that's a very difficult question now. I suppose when I came out initially, I didn't have kind of any thoughts in that way. The last time I got into a project like this was a 5-year plan. And when the 5 years was up, I wanted to and got out very, very quickly on that 5 years. I suppose initially this wasn't a 5-year plan because I have a long-term lease here, but it was a 5-year to see how it would go. Now we're open 5 years, you know, and I'm very happy, touch wood, that we are, and it's a success, but it's a continued success. I can see that it still has a lot to be built on, and I think especially the last 2 years has proven to us we have something that's very good and something that we can build on, and I would be confident that Jack Doyle's is something that, yes, could survive in Budapest for 10, 15, 20 years, you know, whereas in the first few years, you just don't know. I mean, it's very, very difficult. So I suppose recently the conversations have come up. I don't know, I suppose there's nothing tying me here at the moment as such, other than Jack Doyle's. Having said that, there's nothing dragging me away either. I'll wait and see, but I have thought about it. If I do make a decision, it'll have to be this year, and it'll obviously have to be a commitment of what I normally go with, which is 5 years. But we'll wait and see. If I was to move, it wouldn't be to home just yet anyway.
Okay.
So it would have to be something somewhere else, which just place the place to go. But, you know, maybe I should be happy where I am and stay. So we'll wait and see.
Okay, well, thanks to Charles Griffin of Jack Doyle's for speaking to myself and James today, and we're going to sit back now and have a pint maybe.
Excellent, you're more than welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Over the past number of years, there has been an increase in Erasmus students coming from Ireland to live in Budapest. Jessica Lean caught up with Erasmus student and singer-songwriter Genevieve Howard from Dublin to get her views on life as a foreign student and the thriving music scene in Budapest. But first we will listen to her rendition of classic Irish ballad Whiskey in the Jar.
Cork can carry mountains. I saw Captain Pharaoh and his money he was counting. I first produced my pistol, then produced my rapier. I said, stand or deliver, or the devil he will take you. So all of his money and I brought it home to Jane. She swore that she loved me and she'd never leave me. But the devil take that woman, 'cause you know she tricked me easy. But your ring, love it or not, wait for me, daddy-o. Wait for me, daddy-o. There's whiskey in the jar. Wait for me, daddy-o. Wait for me, daddy-o. There's whiskey in the jar.
Thank you very much to Genevieve Howard from Howth in Dublin, who just sang Whiskey in the Jar, courtesy of Thin Lizzy, I presume.
Yes.
Lovely to have you here today, Genevieve. So can you tell us, as an Irish student and a young person, what brings you to Budapest?
Yeah, well, I'm over here at the moment on Erasmus. I'm studying jewellery design in Môme. It's on the Buda side of the river. And yeah, it's been really good. I've been here for 3 months now and I'm leaving next week, I think, and it'll be sad to leave. I've really enjoyed my time here. So
great. And do you notice a big difference between the life of a student in Ireland and in Budapest?
Definitely, it's definitely cheaper over here. Living costs and everything like that. So that's pretty good. Also, it's the nightlife is a bit similar, but it's more kind of pubs and stuff over here. So yeah, it's good.
Okay, and can you relate to why a lot of Irish people would choose to live or even holiday in Budapest?
Yeah, well, obviously it's so cheap over here, so people that would be an appealing thing for people to come over. Also, the weather is gorgeous in the summer, and there's a lot of music festivals as well on with a good lineups, and just the city is beautiful itself with all the buildings and the contrasting architecture and everything, so yeah, it's the people are friendly as well.
Have you met a lot of Irish over here? Have you felt the Irish influence in Budapest?
Yeah, actually, yeah. Like on St. Paddy's Day, there was a thing on in the Irish Embassy where they invited Irish students over there for like an event, which was really nice. So there's a nice community of Irish people here and they all kind of stick together and help each other out or whatever, you know.
Cool. And you've made some good Irish friends over here. And
yeah,
great. And for yourself, what's the biggest attraction for you about Budapest?
The biggest attraction for me would be, well, I think the student life is very good. The social life is good, and just the architecture in the city is really beautiful, and it's a nice place to live. It's sunny and happy.
And you'd encourage Irish people to come over here?
I would encourage people to come over, definitely.
Great.
Definitely, yeah.
Good. Well, also, I suppose, as an Irish singer-songwriter, do you find that the music scene is good over here compared to that at home in Dublin?
Yeah, like myself and my housemate, we do a lot of open mics over here stuff. And, there's this one place, Jack Doyle's, that we go to a lot. And the two guys there let us play, and we've done a few gigs with them, and the List Academy is just down the street from us, which is a very famous music academy. And one of the things, though, that there's not a lot of buskers or street performers over here that I've noticed. But I don't know why. Maybe they're not allowed. I don't know.
We might see you on the streets of Budapest over the next few years busking. So
yeah, might bring that out here to Budapest busking.
Good stuff.
I don't know.
Great. It's been good speaking to you today, Genevieve. And thanks. Best of luck when
you
go home next week.
Thank you.
No problem. Irishness is something that is very much alive and well in Budapest, as you can gather from the interviews carried out by James and myself. We knew that the city had somewhat of an Irish presence, but after speaking with our three interviewees, we were quite proud of the cultural impact our own expats have made here. Between the vast political, economic, cultural and social efforts made in recent times, Ireland and Hungary have together managed to bridge a relationship that is sure to progress positively from here on into the future. We would like to thank our interviewees for their time and contribution to this radio documentary. Charles Griffin of Jack Doyle's Irish Bar in Budapest, and Genevieve Howard, an Irish singer-songwriter and Erasmus student of Môme Art and Design College in Budapest. And now for a few words in our native language, Osquilga. Cúpla focala nish in our Djanga nashunta, ta sulaguing tu tatnav as fashnesha, sha an irid agus is tatnav as muid eg jainav air. Ihoa a huurt dit galair agus mara ra na heren. Slán go fóill. We hope you enjoyed this documentary as much as we enjoyed making it. Good night to you all, and as the Irish say, may the road rise to meet you.